Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. Up next is the audiobook by Dr. Billy Brim, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter Shelley Brim. This classic teaching will guide you to discover the truth about the blood of Jesus and the glory of God. Stay tuned to the end of our broadcast to find out more on Billy Brim Ministries' next authority conference hosted near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. This is a free special Tulsa, Oklahoma event. For more information, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.
Smith Wigglesworth. The reputation of this spiritual giant is widespread till this day. I would like to have included here all the old articles I found actually written by his hand. But an excellent collection of his early articles and sermons in Confidence and the Pentecostal Evangel, and other early Pentecostal periodicals, have been put together by Wayne Warner. Smith Wigglesworth, The Anointing of His Spirit, reveals the respect for the power of God common to the old-timers we've been learning from. Maria Woodworth Etter. Speaking of miracles, signs and wonders, no ministry surpasses the supernatural evident in Maria Woodworth Etter's ministry. People fell out under the power on trains passing through the area where a Woodworth Etter meeting was in progress. Lake said, quote, "There are people who were born away up in the blessed dominion of God, like our Mother Etter. They have resurrection power," unquote. Sister Etter placed great faith in the blood to prepare the way for the power to work. Her own account of a great meeting in Los Angeles illustrates this. The worldwide camp meeting was no doubt the largest gathering of baptized saints in these last days. I had the 10 o'clock meetings, which would have lasted all day and night, for the power of God was poured out so wonderfully. But I had to close at 2 o'clock for other services. As they led me to the steps that went off the large platform, I stopped and looked at the many hungry, anxious souls. Then the power of God came on me. I raised my hands to heaven and stood there as the Holy Ghost swept over the multitude. I said, "The Lord is going to save a lot of you dear people just now. All who want to be saved just now, while I stand here and sprinkle the blood of Jesus on you by living faith, come forward." There was a rush from all directions to the platform. They began to weep and shout, and scores were converted without getting on their knees, except those who fell under the almighty power of God. Another day, as I came off the platform, many that could not get near while I was praying for the sick stood, looking so sad, crowding around me as near as they could, trying to touch my hands or speak. I stopped to look at them. The power fell on me and swept over them. I raised my hands and told them all to look to Jesus, to look up, to lift their hands and faces to God, that I would sprinkle the blood of the Lamb over them, that they would all be healed. Oh, glory to God! The healing power swept over. Many miracles of healings were wrought. People were saved and baptized. Now, about 2 years afterward, in our convention in Los Angeles, I heard many wonderful testimonies of those who were healed. Two marvelous cases said that they were healed the day that I was standing on the steps of the platform. Brother Anderson's healing. Brother Anderson came from Portland, Oregon. He had blood poisoning and was covered with ugly running and eating sores, some nearly as large as his hand. He was a nervous wreck, and he could not sleep, and it was affecting his brain. He asked me if there was any hope for him, and I told him if he would give his restored life to be used to the glory of God, the Lord would heal him right now. He said, I will. I prayed for his soul and body and sprinkled the blood of Jesus all over him by a living faith. Bless God, the blood struck in. I laid hands on him and rebuked the poison and cast out the unclean spirits, and the plague was stayed and the blood was cleansed. The power of God struck him and he fell and lay like a dead man. I left him lying there, but praise the Lord, the next morning his sores were all gone, not even a scar of those rotten sores. His flesh was like a little child's, where great raw sores had been on his hands and arms. All could see that the Lord had wrought a miracle. This was in Los Angeles, and in our meeting at Long Hill, Connecticut, a while later, a brother rose in the back of the tent. It was Brother Anderson, and he had just arrived on the grounds. He was full of the Holy Ghost, and his face was shining as he told how God had sent him across the continent to tell what great things God had done for him. I heard this brother testify in Chicago and Philadelphia many months after, and he was perfectly healthy and giving God the glory. Mrs. Eder included the words to this song in her book, published in 1916. It's entitled, Where the Blood Can Heal. Do you seek relief for your sin-sick soul? You to Christ then must make appeal. There's no other one who can make you whole. You must come where the blood can heal. Refrain. You must come where the blood can heal. You must come where the blood can heal. There's no other one who can make you whole. You must come where the blood can heal. Vain are all your hopes of another cure. Be persuaded, you know, to feel. Help alone through Christ that you can secure. You must come where the blood can heal. Other proffered aids can but you deceive. At your will unto life they steal. You must look to Christ. If your hope receive, you must come where the blood can heal. Hear you not? 'Tis there a decoying voice, striving ever to quench thy zeal? Would you from him turn, refuge safe to find? You must come where the blood can heal. If you would arise from your bed of pain to the counsel of Christ, then kneel. 'Tis prescribed by him, and your only hope. You must come where the blood can heal. Chapter 25, The Blood and the Last Outpouring. The former and latter reigns together. Outpouring has begun in the earth, the outpouring which will culminate in the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of the same signs of the outpouring at the beginning of this century are in our midst now. Joy and holy laughter, for instance. Here is Wigglesworth's account of what happened from the time he boarded the train to return home to Bradford, after having received the baptism in the Holy Spirit at Body's place in Sutherland. The first thing I did was to telegraph to my home saying, quote, I have received the baptism in the Holy Ghost and have spoken in tongues, unquote. On the train to my hometown, the devil began questioning, are you going to take this to Bradford? As regards my feelings at the moment, I had nothing to take, but the just do not live by feelings, but by faith. So I shouted out on the railroad coach to everybody's amazement, yes, I'm taking it. A great joy filled me as I made this declaration, but somehow I knew from that moment it would be a great fight all the time. When I arrived home, one of my sons said to me, Father, have you been speaking in tongues? I replied, yes, George. Then let's hear you, he said. My wife said to me, "So you've been speaking with tongues, have you?" I replied, "Yes." "Well," she said, "I want you to understand that I am as much baptized as you are, and I don't speak in tongues." I saw that the contest was beginning right at home. "I have been preaching for 20 years," she continued, "and you have sat beside me on the platform. But on Sunday, you will preach yourself, and I'll see what there is in it." She kept her word. On Sunday, she took a seat at the back of the building. We had always sat together on the platform until that day. So the contest had begun right in the church. There were three steps up to the platform. And as I went up those three steps, the Lord gave me the passage in Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." I was no preacher, but hearing the voice of my Lord speaking those words to me, I began. I cannot now remember what I said, but my wife was terribly disturbed. The bench on which she sat would seat 9 people, and she moved about on it until she had sat on every part of it. Then she said in a voice that all around her could hear, "That's not my Smith, Lord! That's not my Smith!" I was giving out the last hymn when the secretary of the mission stood up and said, "I want what our leader has received." The strange thing was that when he was about to sit down, he missed his seat and went right down on the floor. Then my oldest son arose and said he wanted what his father had, and he too took his seat right down on the floor. In a short while, there were 11 people right on the floor of that mission. The strangest thing was that they were all laughing in the spirit and laughing at one another. The Lord had really turned again the captivity of Zion, and the mouth of His children was being filled with laughter, according to the word of the Lord in Psalm 126, verses 1 and 2. God said of the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, "He brought forth His people with joy, and His chosen with gladness." Psalm 105, verse 43. He is about to take His church out of the earth, and He will bring us out with joy and gladness. A century, as God sees time, 1,000 years is as a day, is only about 2.4 hours. In this prophetic century, God has given out the trumpet call, "Jesus is coming soon."
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you just heard was from Dr. Billy Brim's audiobook, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter, Shelley Brim. Live near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. Join Dr. Billy Brim for our Authority Conference at our home church in a Glorious Church Fellowship. Save the dates and make your plans now to join the upcoming Authority Conference near Tulsa, April 27th through the 29th. Joining Dr. Billy Brim in these powerful meetings will be Chip and Shelley Brim. For more information about the Tulsa Area Authority Conference, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.